Those of you who have been in regular attendance this summer have probably caught the flavor of our pulpit ministry for the summer, which has been an attempt to lay before you some of the more practical things from God's Word, the Holy Bible. Very frequently, those of us who take great delight in studying God's Word and love God's Word get off on tangents, and sometimes preachers preach to themselves more than to the congregation. So what we've been trying to do this summer is preach to the congregation. And today I want to call your attention to two very familiar passages of the Holy Bible. Our text is taken from Exodus 20, verses 15 and 16. You will recognize this as coming from the Decalogue, or the Ten Commandments, or God's perfect moral law. I have entitled our sermon today, The True Value of Honesty. We read in Exodus 15 and 16, which are the eighth and ninth commandments of the Lord. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Brother Lloyd, come on up front. Come on. Come on up front. Brother Lloyd snuck in here on us just now. Now turn around here and let everybody see your handsome face. Brother Lloyd is the pastor of our church in Jersey City. And the reason I'm making him come up front is because he won't let me sit in the congregation in his church. Exodus 20, 15 and 16. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. We read the Decalogue in our communion service every first Sunday, and there is a statement at the end of each of God's commandments where the congregation prays, Lord, have mercy upon us, and incline our hearts to keep this law. True holiness necessarily includes being completely honest and truthful all the time, even when we are inconvenienced or disadvantaged by doing so. The mark, the identifying badge of the Christian in the world of unbelievers, may be categorized as love, humility, meekness, and complete honesty. Our sermon today is being about completely honest. Christians striving to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will not take that which does not belong to them. Christians who are following the Lord Jesus Christ will earnestly strive to tell the truth at all times. We should have irreproachable reputations for honesty and truthfulness in the world. Christians should be different in the world. As I wrestled with this sermon last week, I had two things to come across my desk that were, I think, a very good illustration of the truth that we're trying to set forth here today. One was a bill from a supplier that supplies office supplies to Mount Carmel Church. And on that bill, there was a mistake made. They charged us exactly twice as much for three items as they should have charged. When I read that, looking at that bill, I said, oh my, this is no good. We've got to do something about this. So I whipped off a letter to them right away, informing them of their mistake because they had made a mistake that was against us. Then I had another bill to come, a personal one, that came to my office, where a place that we stayed when we were on vacation this summer neglected to bill us for one day. So then I had to sit down and write a letter to them and tell them that they did not bill us for that day. Now, what happens too often is that we are more than willing to call people's attention to those things that they do that are not in our favor. But those things that happen in our favor, we want to let that go. How many times have you been tempted to walk away from the clerk in the grocery store who made a mistake in your favor? As Christians, you ought to call that mistake to their attention just as readily as you call the mistake to their attention when they make it against you. You don't want to pay $5 for a jar of peanut butter and it only costs $1.25, do you? I don't think so. The Apostle Paul speaks to this matter very effectively in the Epistle to the Ephesians. He tells us that we ought to be brand new people. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye walk henceforth not as other Gentiles walk. And a Gentile is an unbeliever. We are not to walk as unbelievers. We are to walk as those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are new creatures in the world. And we ought to let our light so shine that men see Christ in us. And thereby they are drawn to him. The Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. That is the nothingness or the emptiness of their minds. There is nothing to be gained ultimately by stealing or telling lies. Nothing. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians, I'm reading from Ephesians, the 4th chapter now in the 18th verse, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness, not of their eyes, but of the heart. The heart is blinded. When we start to try to take advantage of people by taking things that don't belong to us or by telling lies, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. And this word lasciviousness means sensuality or preoccupation with sex. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Why do we steal? We steal because we see something that we want that God has not seen fit to provide for us. So we take it. And this goes much further than taking material things that don't belong to us. We can take reputations. We can take credit where it doesn't belong. And the list goes on and on and on of things that we can do that are dishonest. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. These are recurring themes in the Bible. These are themes that recur in the Bible that our government officials, all the way down to our school children, would do well to pay attention to. God requires righteousness and true holiness. No one who is unrighteous or unholy is going to get into God's heaven. That God makes that so plain in his word, it's a wonder that these themes are not spoken to more and more in the churches today. Holiness. God requires holiness. God requires absolute righteousness, and no one can be righteous who steals or tells lies. The world is sadly lacking in even attempts to be obedient to God in these two commandments. Now, this is what God requires. God requires that we not take anything that does not belong to us, and God requires that we tell the truth all the time. These are God's requirements. Look at God's word. What does God say in his word? Thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not bear false witness. Are you okay? You okay? Okay. I would be bold and say that the commandments of God in the Decalogue, especially these two, are more prevalent openly in the world today than any of the others. We have come to a point, I suppose, in our progress, in our technological excellence, in the development of our governmental systems, where people are expected to steal and no one expects other people to tell the truth. Do you know that that's the situation with which you're confronted every day, and you're confronted with it so prevalently until you don't even pay it any attention anymore? How many times do you sit down and watch a commercial on television when you know good and well that that product will not do what the people say it's going to do? And you accept it. Do you know that that's a deception? Do you know that that's lying? Do you know that that's an attempt to steal? That is fraud. We bought a product not a month ago from a major retail distributor. And the product clearly would not do what it said it would do right on the product. So what we did is we eliminated all of the possibilities, because we knew that when we took this product back, they were going to say, "Did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do the other thing?" So we eliminated all of those things, and the product still would not do what it said it was going to do. I'll tell you what it was. It was a pump. And the pump said, on the pump itself, 30 to 50, which means that this pump would pump water from 30 to 50 pounds pressure. The thing would not give over 42 pounds of pressure, no matter what we did. That's a deception. We had to return the pump. Of course, they sold us another pump. The other pump cost a little more money than this one. And even that one will not do what it says it's supposed to do. We have come to a point where we accept this. There was a time when a man could make a deal with another man and shake his hand, and that was it. Because a man really is no better than his word. Now, you better get it in writing. And you better get it in writing so that every item is detailed. You have a job to do in your home. You want somebody to do that job. Unless you know them real well, you better get a contract. Because they are not going to do what they say they're going to do. These are violations of God's commandments. Trustworthiness and truthfulness gives dignity and honor to individuals and governments. If you want people to honor you, if you want to be a man in the world, if you want to be a woman in the world, and you want people really to respect you, start to practice consistently honesty and truthfulness. Now, you may find that people are going to be utterly surprised, even shocked, when you do things that are absolutely honest and when you tell the truth. But if you want to have that peace that comes within, if you want to be able to stand up and hold your head up and your chest out and be proud like everybody wants to be, learn to be honest and truthful all the time, and that will happen. The reason that our government is going down so fast now is because our government is no longer a government that can be relied on for truthfulness and honesty. And you can see it in the papers any day you want to pick up the paper. Our government officials are not telling the truth. And people expect politicians to tell them untruths. I don't like to get into these political statements here and when I'm preaching, but we have just gone through a very, very expensive series of hearings before the House and Senate. And those hearings have borne up that some of our appointed government officials were willing to blatantly and openly lie to the Congress. Because the government is engaged in clandestine operations. What are we advantaged by that? How long have we as a nation been engaged in clandestine operations, and what is happening to us? Those clandestine operations are not building us up, they're tearing us down, because God says, don't lie and don't take that which does not belong to you. It's not incumbent upon America to tell every other country in the world how to set up their government. God says that if we would learn to be righteous as a nation, He would exalt us. Righteousness exalts a nation, not the CIA, not the Marine Corps, not the Air Force, not the Army, not all the atomic submarines and atomic weapons that we have. Righteousness is what exalts a nation, and righteousness is what exalts individuals. If you want to be exalted by Almighty God, start to do what God says we ought to do. Then we'll be exalted. Honesty in actions and speech relieves us of anxiety. You ever notice how sometimes these good actors in these programs on television, when there's a court scene and the person on the witness stand is not telling the truth, they break out in perspiration, wipe out sweat, and they get real nervous when somebody asks them a question, they're not getting ready to tell the truth. On the other hand, if somebody's telling the truth, they don't have to worry about it. If you are honest, you don't have to be anxious about somebody catching up with you. But if you're not honest, you are anxious. If you take something that doesn't belong to you, the probability is, if you continue to do that, you're going to get caught. And once you start stealing, the first time it may bother you a little bit, the next time it bothers you a little less, the next time a little less, just like telling a lie. These things grow on you and they become a part of you. And after a while, your conscience is seared and it doesn't bother you at all anymore. Those people who do steal are looking to get caught. And the people who steal, who take things that don't belong to them, because of their anxiety, they put a strain on the heart. They put a strain on the nervous system. And I do believe that one of the ways that we can ensure good health, now there are a lot of other things, and you have to realize that this is somewhat subjective. If we would start to obey God, if we would take God's commandments seriously and start to do them, we would be much better off physically. Not only spiritually in the long run, but spiritually definitely, but I believe that if we would just start to put these things into practice, we would be much better off as individuals. You know, anxiety takes its toll. And when individuals steal, everybody pays. I didn't have an opportunity to do it last week, but when I was preparing this sermon, I thought about going to one of our large stores around here to find out how much of their budget is set aside for pilferage and how much of their budget is set aside for security. Do you know that if people did not go into these stores like Kmart and Sears and these big stores and steal, the price on the products would be cheaper for all of us. But those people are in business to make money, and they're going to make money. And don't you know that every time they open that Kmart store, the manager of that store knows that there are going to be some people who are going to come in there and steal from them. So what they do is they incorporate what they figure to be a reasonable percentage for pilferage in the price of everything that you buy. And also, these guards that walk around in these stores are being paid, and those guards are being paid with the money that you pay extra for the products that you buy out of those stores. Everybody pays. Everybody pays. We have a beautiful example of this in the book of Joshua. When Israel took Jericho, everything was just right. God gave them Jericho, no problem. A big walled city that has stood for 700 years. Nobody had been able to take it. God gave it to Israel. And then they went up against a little puny city, Ai. And because God told the children of Israel not to take anything out of Jericho, and one man in the camp was disobedient, Israel was defeated the first time they went up against Ai, and 30 men died. That means that there were 30 families for which Israel had to take care. There were 30 women who were deprived of their husbands. And eventually, Achan did get caught, and when Achan got caught, he and his whole family were put to death because he took the things that were under the ban. Honesty in speech, honesty in actions relieves us of anxiety. And we can go on and on and on, multiplying examples. But there's one thing I want to call to your attention now, in line with what God says about stealing and telling the truth. And that is Atlantic City. I had a question put to me not too long ago about the lottery and about Atlantic City, about gambling in general. When you go to gamble, first of all, you are not being a good steward over those things that God has given you. God says in his word that we ought to work in order to have to give to them that have need. Not to work to heap up luxuries on ourselves, not to work to have extra money to go to Atlantic City to the gaming tables. I read last week in the paper, and I just don't remember the figure, but it was in the millions of dollars that the casinos in Atlantic City took in a month. When you go to Atlantic City, you are going to Atlantic City to give them your money. They're going to take it from you. 60 cents on every dollar that goes to Atlantic City stays in Atlantic City. Because those people are in business to make money. They're in business. They're working. You're gambling. And God says, on their part, they're taking unfair advantage of you. The crap tables and the roulette wheels and all of those games that they play down there are not equal. They're not fair. Do you know that these people have this slot machine thing down to a science? And they know when that slot machine is going to pay off. You don't know when it's going to pay off. They know when it's going to pay off. And they know how much it's going to pay off. And you are not going to beat them. You go down to Atlantic City and you can win $1 million Monday night. And if you stay there long enough, they'll get every penny of it back from you. Now, if you don't believe that, try it. The state is sanctioning stealing with the lottery. And we don't think about that. And Christians don't talk about it. And preachers don't preach about it. It's an abomination what the states are doing with this lottery. Do you know if you have 40 numbers, and you have to pick 6 of them in order to win the lottery, the mathematical possibility of you doing that accurately goes on ad infinitum. There's no equity in that. That is stealing. The state is taking money from people on a hope that they'll win this lottery. And everyone who, by chance, gets all of the 6 numbers right, their pictures are in the paper, they're written up, great, you know. That's a deception because the state is saying to you that if you play the lottery, you can win. Over in New York, they tell you you gotta be in it to win it, right? But they know that the probability is that you are not going to win. Righteousness exalts a nation, not these kinds of things. And because people are removed so far from a direct involvement in management, because people are removed from direct involvement in government and government agencies, does not excuse them. I read one commentator last week talking about the 8th commandment, and he said that on the judgment day, we are probably going to be utterly surprised at those who go away with a sign on them, thief. There's so many ways to steal. There's so many ways that we can tell untruth until it would just not serve our purpose to try to enumerate them here. But fidelity has a positive influence on the community, just like infidelity has a negative influence on the community. You can start to influence people around you by being honest and by being truthful. You can do that. I know it's hot in here, so we're going to close this up today. We don't want to go too long. In closing, let me say this. Christians should practice fidelity everywhere, at home, at work, at school, everywhere. If you are a student here and you are required to take examinations, you should want to know that the test score that you make on that examination is yours, not somebody else's. You should be honest. You should always tell the truth. Truth is necessary because God is truth. The greatest value of honesty is that it honors God, who is the essence of truth. If God were not truth, he would not be God. Because God is truth, we can rely on his word, because God cannot tell a lie. And God cannot take anything that doesn't belong to him, because everything belongs to him. But when we tell the truth and when we are honest, we are honoring God. And our total purpose for being, I remind you once again, is that you know and love and serve God. Our total purpose will be, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we glorify God when we are honest and when we tell the truth all the time. Truth is an immutable characteristic of Almighty God. God is, because He is truth, God cannot lie, and those who lie dishonor God. Now, good people, those of us who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ are liars by nature. And those of us who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ are thieves by nature. The sin nature causes us to want to take advantage of everyone whom we can take advantage of. And the sin nature in us causes us to tell lies even sometimes before we think about it. So in order to be honest, in order to be completely honest, in order to reap the benefits of being honest, we have to be in Christ Jesus. How do we get in Christ Jesus? By realizing that we're sinners, by repenting of our sins, by confessing those sins, by turning away from them and asking God to give us the grace that we need to believe on His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. God committed Himself by giving Jesus Christ in order that we could be relieved of the anxiety and the guilt and the awful effects of stealing and lying. God sent Jesus Christ to the cross to spend the equivalent of an eternity in hell for you, for me, in order that we might be spared that. He let men put Him in a lowly grave, and He stayed there for 3 days and 3 nights, and He got up again on the third day. That's the essence of the gospel. It's offered freely. And if you are here today and you have not accepted the gospel, I suggest that you cannot be completely honest, and you cannot be completely truthful. So what you need to do right now is to determine to commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're having trouble with that and you need some help, you see me and I'll help you. There are others in the church who can help you. We can help you do that. Let us pray. Father, we do thank You for Your perfect moral law. And we ask, as Your humble children, that You would give us the grace that we need to obey Your law. If there is one here, Lord, who is resisting the gospel, if there is one here who has not made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, we beg You, Lord, give them grace even right now that they might accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and be spared the awful judgment that is coming upon all who know Him not. We do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.